Begin the current daf, Sechtes Midas daf Lamed Vav. Begin the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in Mishnah Beis of this Perek, Perek HaMes Be'ach, discussing the dimensions of the altar in the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Mishnah, Ubekeren Maravis Zeraimis, in the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Hayishnei Nekavim, there were these two holes, which this was on the foundation, which was the bottom block of the, which was an Amma tall and the Amma in its width. This hole went down to the ground of the Azara, and they were kamin shnei chlik medakar, and they were like two thin nostrils. Shadamim hanitanin al yisem arav, because the blood that was put on the western foundation, which were the leftover bloods that were sprayed inside the heichal, vayisay deremi, and the blood that was poured onto the southern foundation, which were the leftovers of the bloods done on the outer mizbeach, they went through these holes, and Yerdin Behen, they went down all the way to the ground of the Azara, and they went into the stream, the canal that went past through the Azara, Umas Arvin Baham, and they get mixed into that canal. The Yitzin Lenachal Kidron, and then it goes out with the canal to the Kidron Valley, and there was so much blood that was in the Mizbeach from all the leftovers that increased on the water of the canal, which turned into fertilizer, and then that was blood sold to the gardeners as fertilizer. Continues Mishnah Gimel, Lamata Beritzba Ba'isa Akeren. Now, on the bottom of the Mizbeach, there on the ground of the Azara, on the courtyard, right there by that corner, Mokum Hayasham Amal Amma, there was a place over there that was Amma squared, Vitavla Shalshais, and there was a tile of marble, Vitabasa Isakavuaba, and there was a ring that was attached to that tile which they would use to pick up that tile, Shiboy Yerdin Lishis. That's how they went down to the shiz, but there's different interpretations what that is. And they would clean it out, which actually the Girsa of the Rush is shisin, which that's a discussion, doesn't mean right what we're discussing here in this Mishnah regarding the blood that would spill through, or was referring to what we said in the previous Mishnah, to the wine of the libations, which came down the pipes and then congealed there on the bottom there by the ground, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, that once every 70 years, the young Kahanim would go down and they would gather all the wine that congealed, which that would obviously mean that this Tana would not hold like the Tana that holds at the Shishin went all the way down to the foundations of the world, to the time, which that's Machlekes Tanaim in the last paragraph of Masechta Sukkah over there, which according to that interpretation, the Shis are the Shishin, the pipes, and then we clean it out. Now, continues the Mishnah, the Kevish Hayilah Dray Mishal Mizbeach, we're going east to west, as our Masechta is describing these Parakim, someone's walking in, we're describing the dimensions that way. Now, the Mizbeach, to the south of it, which would be the left of the person that's walking over there, the ramp was to the southern part of the Mizbeach, which the ramp was how they got to the top of the Mizbeach, like the Pasuk says, El Paneha Mizbeach, to the face of the Mizbeach, which that's the place where you come up, when you're coming towards something. Now, how do we know that's on the south? It's because it says, Yerech HaMizbeach Tzafayna, the thigh, which the legs, which the opposite of the face, was in the northern part of the Azara. Obviously, that means to say that the face was in the south. Now, its dimensions were Lamed Beis al Reichav Tezayin. It was 32 Amas by a width of 16 Amas. V'revuva Hitzli B'maravai. There was this revuva to the west of the ramp, which was some type of a window in the western part of the ramp. It was called revuva, which its utility was Shasham HaYunisnim B'suli Chataz Oiv. That's where they put the invalidated bird Chatais, which that it should be left over there and have what's called Ibutsura, where it changes its form, it's left over, and once it gets invalidated that way, then it could go out to the base of Sefer to be burnt, which there's a machlekes elsewhere. Rabbi Yochanan says we're talking about because it became invalidated through tumo or became invalidated through a psul haguf, something in the body of the bird itself. Now, because the chatas ayv was made by the southwestern corner, therefore the revuva was over there by that corner, there by that part of the ramp. Continues Mishnah Dalet. Echad avni hakevish ve'echad avni hamizbech. Both the stones of the ramp and the stones of the altar were mebikas beis kerem. They were from the valley of beis kerem, which is the name of a place, which from there they would find smooth stones. And that was necessary because, as our Mishnah is describing, b'chayfrin, they would dig with wooden tools, lamata mebesula, lower down than the virgin soil, which is a place that you know that no iron had ever touched. Umavin b'sham avan shlemes, and from there they would bring intact stones, shlohun defalein barzel, that no iron, no metal had ever touched. Shah barzel placed them in the gear because iron invalidates the stones of the mizbeach and the ramp by simply touching, like the pasuk in Devarim Chavzayin, lison defalein barzel. Now lift up on those stones iron, which sounds like even if it just touches. Or pagima, and the gear says b'chal davar, and if it gets nicked, is with anything, even without iron, because we need to have, as the pasuk says, avan mishlemes, complete stones. Now, how much is the invalidation if the Mizbeach becomes notched? It's that if one would put his fingernail on it, it would get stuck. Now, that specifically are the stones, but the cementing, the plastering of them is be'ach. That there's one opinion holds that the Gemara says Nachum Daf Yitches Me'af either a tefach, or there's an opinion holds it's that of a kezayis. But the stones themselves are just simply if the fingernail will get stuck on them. Now continues the mission. If nifkem achas men, if one of the stones do get notched, so he psula, it becomes invalidated, and you have to remove that stone, and you put in a new one in its place. But the kulin kasheris, all the other stones are still valid, and it doesn't invalidate the whole mizbech that way. As the Rush brings from the Mechilton, that it says, Leisibne es and gazes, you're not allowed to build the mizbech with gezuzes, which are any stones that iron had been lifted up on it. So Matt the Brisa brings that, so one would think that if, let's say, someone did have that, the stone in the whole mizbech would be invalidated. That's what Pasuk says, Leisibne es hen gazes, which means to say that those are going to be invalidated, but the rest of the mizbech is still going to be kosher. Now continues the mission of Malabnin Oisin Pamayim Bashana, they would whiten the mizbech twice a year, which means to say because they would plaster it with lime. Well, that the Rush discusses, but isn't that a problem about adding on to the structure, which the Pasuk says in Devar Yom Aleph, which the Gemara brings many places, Hakol B'Ksav Me'yad Hashem Alai Hiskol, that it has to be the exact dimensions as it's supposed to be. And you can't say, well, okay, but just plastering is very little, and that's not a problem, because the Gemara elsewhere says that we know that the Kachim were exempt from the halach of Kisa Adam, of covering it with earth. Because the Gemara says, well, how are you supposed to do it? Cover it with earth? That's adding on to the structure. You see, even just adding a little earth is a problem about adding on to the structure. So that says the Rush, no, the Mizbech was allowed to be up until a dimension, as we even find that they added on at certain points, up until 60 Amos, as the Gemara says, Perikacha Kachim. And the Gemara over there, we're going to Kisa Adam, was talking about that. Obviously, we're talking about that even if they would make the dimensions of the mizbech to the maximum that it was allowed to be of 60 amas, then you wouldn't be able to go ahead and put on even just a little amount of earth because that would be adding on. But we're talking about that, yeah, you could put on plaster as long as it wasn't yet 60 amas, or another interpretation Rush says is that they would first peel off the old plaster and then they would be go ahead and replaster it again two times a year, so that really wouldn't be adding on to the dimensions. When are these two times in the year? Echad bePesach veEchad bChag, one by Pesach and one by the Yom Tov Sukkos. Now, vaHeichel pamachas bePesach, and the sanctuary was plastered once a year by the Yom Tov Pesach. Now, Rebbe he says Kol Erev Shabbos Malav Noisin. Actually, every Erev Shabbos, every Friday, they would go ahead and they would whiten it, but not with plaster, rather bemapa with some type of a cloth, and they would wash it off. And they had done simply because of all the blood that was sprayed on the mizbeach. Therefore, they did it every Erev Shabbos. Now, going back to the opinion of the Tanakhama, says the Mishnah, Lohoy sudden oisin bekapishal barzel. Now, even though we said we plastered it twice a year, they wouldn't do it with this tool that were used by those with the plasterers with that made out of iron. Because Shema Yigav Yivso, because they might touch the stones themselves, and as we said, that would invalidate it. Rather, they would use this tool made out of wood, and that's how they would plaster it. And as the Mishnah describes, because Chabazel never lekatza yom of shaladim, iron metal was created to shorten the life of a person, because that's how one could kill. Vamizbech never laharach yom of shaladim, and the altar was created to lengthen the days of a person, where that's where the atonement for a person that he could live. In the Bedin Sheyanav HaMakatz Al-Marach, and therefore it's not appropriate, it's not logical that that which shortens should go add and touch and have a dominion over that which lengthens. Continues Mishnah Hei, V'tabayis Hoy Letzvayin Shal Mizbeach, that there were rings that were on the northern part of the altar. So we're still here in this walking east to west. We describe the Mizbeach, its dimensions, the left of it, which is the ramp, and now we're going to the right of the Mizbeach, which is the northern part of the Azara. There were these rings, which the reason why the rings were over there, because they're related to slaughtering, and most kachim, its slaughtering was done in the northern part of the Azar. Now these rings were not totally round circles, they were like a half of a circle, where one end was attached to the ground, and the other end would be able to come up and down where it was connected, so that one could stick the neck of the animal there into that ring, and then close it in back into the ground. So therefore, one only needed a half ring, and also it needed to be open, so they could put in the neck of the animal over there. Now, says the Mishnah, there were vav sedarim. There were six orders, one near another. If one was going from west to east, each order was Shaldal Dalad. Each one had four in its row, going from north to south. Now, the reason why that was 6 times 4 is 24 is because each ring was for each mishmar, because there were 24 mishmaris, 24 different groups of Kahanim, every week a different mishmar. So in the first opinion, there were these six orders, which each row had four. But Yeshem, some say that it was the opposite. It was Dalet, it was four orders, and then every order were Shalvav Vav, were of six each. So either way, you're going to have six times four. The question is, which way was it, considering west to east and north to south? Now, Ketiz the Mishnah, Shaleim, which means that because near them, Sheikhta Nesa Kaddishim was where they slaughtered the Kaddishim, and that's where they had the rings over there, because they would be able to keep the animal there with the ring. Now, describes the Mishnah, Besamet Bechayim, the butcher house, which actually wasn't a house, it was an area, it was the place where they would slaughter, they would skin the animal, dismember it, and to wash out the intestines. Because that was even a little bit further to the north of the altar. And to the side of it, further to the north, were these eight dwarf pillars, which we already explained this Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid. And they had these quarters, these squares of cedar on top of them, meaning on top of these pillars. And on top of that, and in those cedars, these squares, you had these hooks made out of iron that were attached to it. And with Gimel Sadarim Hoyalakalechabechad, and each one had three orders of hooks. Shebehem Toil Mafshidin, depending on the animal, different interpretations in the Rishonim. Shebehem Toil Mafshidin, that on those hooks, there were three on each square, they would hang the animal and they would skin it. Al Shulchan Shalshay Sheben Amudim, together with the tables that were made out of marble that were between those pillars, that the animal would hang on to that, and they would use those tables together to go ahead and skin the animal. Mishnah continues Mishnah Vav, Hakir, continuing with this area that we are going from east to west. Hakir Hayibena Ulam Lamizbeach, moving further past the Mizbeach, the Kir, which was the wash basin, was between the antechamber, which were further along on to the west, and the Mizbeach, which is what we're describing. Umasha Kapadam, but it was a little bit drawn towards the south, which as the Gemara in Perkacha Kachim explains that it's going like a basic little, that he says the whole Mizbeach was in the northern part of the Azar, and the Mizbeach ended by the midpoint of the opening of the Heichel. And we didn't actually put the Kir directly in between the Mizbech and the Ulam. That's why we're saying it's drawn a little bit to the south, because as the Gemara there teaches in Perek HaChukachim, that basically says, the Pasuk says, you put the Kir between the Oil Mayid and the Mizbech. But it says the Mizbech Oila was B'Pesach Oil Mayid, so obviously we couldn't have the Kir by Pesach Oil Mayid between the Mizbech and the Pesach. So where was it? It was between the old Mizbech, but a little bit towards the south, which was right where the Mizbech ended. That's where they would put the Kir. So it was Pesach El Maid, but the Mizbech was also directly opposite the Pesach El Maid. So it seemed like it was between the oil and the Mizbech, but it actually wasn't, a little bit to the south of where the Mizbech was. Which the mother asked, why'd it have to be the south? Why couldn't it be to the north? It's because the Pesach said Tzafayin, which means Tzafayin, that the word Tzafayin also means Panoi, that it should be empty from anything, so therefore you couldn't have the Kir over there. Now, continues the Mishnah, between the antechamber, which is the opening of the temple sanctuary itself, and the Mizbeach was 22 amas. Now, there were these 12 steps in that area. The height of every step was a half amma. The shilcha amma and its tread, meaning to say its horizontal positioning, was an amma in its length. Now, the Mishnah continues describing now these 22 amas that was between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, with through these 12 steps. So the Mishnah explains, because you had amma amma, mean to say that when you would go up these first steps, you'd be going up two ammas, which were actually four steps, because we said in every step there was a height of a half a amma. So going up those four steps, you had you went a distance of four ammas, which was a height of two ammas. V'ravid gimel. Then you had a platform, meaning a flat place, of three amas without any steps. So that makes for a total of seven amas in the distance of the ground. You have four amas from the four steps, and you have three amas from this ravid, from this platform. And then again, amma again going up a height of two amas. V'ravid gimel. And then this straight flat place of three amas, which again that's four plus three again, makes for seven again, which makes for a total of 14 amas. And then the top third was again amma height of two amas, and then a flat place of four amas until one got to the opening of the ulam, which that was eight amas, which made for a total of 22 amas between the ulam and the mizbeach. So that was all steps. Rabbi Huda, he says that actually amma the top part was again the height of two amas from the four steps. But this one point he disagrees, says but the last straight part was five amas, which the Rush brings, that obviously that according to Behuda, one of the other ravdim, the flat parts, had to be not three amas, but rather two amas, because if not, then you would have a total of 23 amas between Ul Mizbeach, and you can't say that, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda held that it was 23 amas, because in the first Perek HaMasechet Yuma, the Gemara tries to explain that the Tana of the Mishnayos and Masechet Yuma is like Rabbi Yehuda, but if between Ul Mizbeach is 23 amas, how is it going to be like him? But the Mishnah tells us later on that the whole Azara was a length of 187, and that calculation only comes out if between the Ul Mizbeach was 22 amas. So obviously, yeah, it could have been 5, but that means one of the other ones wasn't 3, but rather 2 amas. Continues Mishnah Zayin. Pischa Shalulim, the opening of the antechamber, Gavai, and the girsa is Arboim Amo, was a height of 40 amas, Verachvai Esther Mama, and its width was 20 amas. Now, Vehei Maltarai Shal Mela Hoyag above, there were these 5 beams of oak, which was on top of the opening, which oak is a type of wood that has these type of gallnuts, which, although it says Erez, but oak is also one of the Arazim. And that's actually what the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtas Erevin, that what these Amal Tarais, some say it was like types of, looks like nests of birds, which is made for beauty, and that's the utility of why it was made over here by the Heichal. And one says it's Piske de Arza, which are called these beams, which were submerged in the building for a beauty. It's calling it Erez, but really it's oak. And so there were these 5 beams going one on top of the other. Hatachtayna Devas Ala Pesach, so the bottom beam, that which is on top of the opening, the first one, was wider than the opening, Amma Mizeh V'Amma Mizeh, an Amma on the left side of it, and an Amma on the right side of it, so for every side it was an Amma more, comes out that its length was 22 Amas, that first beam, because the opening of the entry, like we just said, was 20 Amas, means to say that the beam, the first one on top of it, was 22 Amas. V'Shalamalimimeno Idefes Aleh Amma Mizeh V'Amma Mizeh, and the beam on top of that one was an Amma more on either side of that beam, going all the way up, every one was another 2 amas more than the one beneath it, because it was amma on each side. Nimtza Salyan Alam and Alpha, so it comes out that the top one of the 5 beams, its length was 30 amas. And additionally, he says, the Mishnah Menidvach Shalavanim, and there was a row of stone, Hayi Ben Kol Echa Ve'Echa, between each one of these beams. So you had these 5 decorative beams on top of the opening of the Ulam, which each one was 2 amas more than the other one, and between each one there was also that same measurement of a row of stones between them. Now, continues Mishnah Ches. The Lekonaisis Shal in the Girsa is Erez, and there were these beams of cedar, Haikavuin Mikaisis Shal Hegel, which were established, which were put in from the walls of the sanctuary, which was a little bit further in, the Lekasis Shal Ulam, to the walls of the Ulam, which we're describing over here, that area of the antechamber. And the reason why they had these beams was Kadesh Shal Yivayit, so that it shouldn't fall in the walls of the Ulam, because the Ulam, the antechamber, was very high, and there was no second story to have beams that are supporting the walls of the Ulam, just straight up walls, and therefore you had to have these beams of cedar from the walls of the Heichal to go ahead and support the walls of the Ulam. Now additionally, v'shasharei shel zav, there were these chains of gold, hayikavuin b'tikras Ulam, that were put in to the roof of the antechamber, and they would reach all the way down to the ground. Shebehen pirchekuna, that on these chains, the young kahanim would grab onto it, and they would climb, and oilim b'royin esataris, and they would go up, and they would see the crowns, which were in the windows, which means to say that they had these windows that were made like a dome-like, that were made out of gold and decorative, and they looked like crowns. And the kahanim would climb up, but then they would see what needs to be fixed by climbing up these chains. Shnemak says, a pasuk in Zechariah, it says, Vatarais, the crowns, Tia, will be Lechelem, or Letovia, or Leyadaya, or Lechain, Ben Tzvanya, the son of Tzvanya, which these are the names of the individuals. Lezikar Mechel Hashem, there will be a commemoration, a memorial for them in the sanctuary of Hashem, who they are the ones who donated these windows. Which actually the Rush points out seems to be a little bit difficult, because here it seems to be that these crowns were just window, golden windows that were made like crowns. The problem is the pasuk earlier says that lekachta kesef v'zav ataris, they should take the silver and the gold and the crowns of Samta Bereish Yeshua Kohen Gadol, you should put on the head of Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. Obviously the crowns were literally crowns that were placed on the person's head. So that's the Rashi. There were 2 things that the prophet commanded, to take silver and gold and to make golden windows that were like crowns, and additionally that they should make for Yeshua to be the head on his head to be as the Kohen Gadol. Now additionally, it says the Mishnah, Megefin Shal Zav Haisa, they were this grapevine made out of gold, which we explained this already in the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, which originally Shlomo HaMelech made it, that it actually grew, and then the second base of English, they made it that it looked like a grapevine. which was a Mendes of Pesach Shalecha, which stood by the opening of the sanctuary, Umudla al Gabi Klonosis, and it was standing on top of these tracels, these types of poles which the grapevines hang on. And Kol Mishu Misnadiv Allah, anyone that donated a leaf of gold, a gargar or a grape of gold, or eshkol or a cluster of grapes, maybe Vitalba will come and hang it on that beam. Now Amr Lezber Tzadik, he says, my side, there was actually an incident that there was so much that was donated, but Nimnu Allah Sholish Mez Kam Lefanaisa, that they needed to count 300 kalim to go ahead and clear it away, which the Gemara there explains that that's an exaggeration, but it means to say that there was a lot of gold there hanging on those beams. Han Lacha Mizbech, we shall return to the third paragraph of Mitzvah, this Perek HaMizbech, which discusses the dimensions of Mizbech. And then we continue to Mizbech, where we begin the fourth Perek, Perek Pesach Shalechel, which again continues on this order of the dimensions going into now the opening of the Hechel, of the sanctuary itself. So that says the mission of the opening of the sanctuary was Gavay Esther Amah, its height was 20 Amas, Varechvay Esther, and its width was 10 Amas, like all the openings. Again, besides the one exception was the Ulam, as we just described before, which was double. Vabar Delosis Hoyle. Now, the opening of the Hechel had four doors. Why? Shtayim Bifnim, Shtayim Bachutz. There were two doors in the inner part of the doorway, and there were two doors in the outer part. The outer part had by the doorposts, which were opening into the ulam, which is the antechamber, like the hallway going into the hechel, because the thickness of the wall of the hechel itself was 6 amas. So it was wide enough to have, and it's also meaning in its depth and in its width, you had it was 10 amas, so you had one door 5 amas, another door 5 amas on the outer part of the thickness of the wall, with the opening of the wall, and you had then two doors on the inner part. Like it says in Pasuk in Yechezkel, there's shtayim dlosses, two doors, were for both lehechel, for the sanctuary, ulekodesh, and for the sanctified part. I mean, lehechel means to say for the outer part, and lekodesh means for the inner part. So there were these four doors. Now the Tanakhama explains, hachitzeinis neftachas latecha pesach. The outer doors, meaning that which was facing the ulam, which is how you would enter into the hechel, they open up, when you open up a door, open up into the inner part of the depth of the wall, which was lachasis ayvishal kaisel, which covered the thickness of the walls, meaning the inside of the walls, which was an amount of 5 amas, because that's how much each door was, which we said its depth was 6 amas. That left the outer ama on each side for those two doorposts, which that was the doorpost took up that space, but the actual wall itself was covered by the door when it opened. Now, Vapnimius, Neftachas Atecha Bais, and the inner doors, where did they go? They opened up also inside, meaning pushed in, like the outer doors, going inside the house of the sanctuary itself, which were Lachasis Achat Lasis, which covered the area behind the doors, meaning if one pushes the door all the way open, and it swings to the door perpendicular, to the wall perpendicular, that it covered that area of that wall. And the reason is, says the Mishnah, Shekala Bayis Tach Bezav, because the whole base of Migdash, the whole temple was plated with gold, Chutz Me'achad Lasses, except for the area behind the doors, because that was actually covered by the doors when it was open. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, B'techa Pesach Haya Amdis. He says, no. All the doors, the inner doors and the outer doors, that they both were took up and covered the thickness of the wall of the entryway itself, meaning of the wall of the Hechel, Ukamin its termita hayu, because they were like these types of this door that's like an accordion that like folds on itself. So you had the inner doors that opened up outside, I mean you would pull it out, and the outer doors, the first doors one would hit, would go inwards, so both of them were going into the same area. V'nikfalas lacharein, and they folded over themselves. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to describe now. If you fold a door, which each door was 5 amas, so that makes that this one was 2.5 amas because it folded on itself inside, and this one was 2.5 amas. So you have chatzi ama mezuzah mikan, then that took up 5 amas, but the actual thickness of the wall was 6 amas. So you have a half of ama and a mezuzah on this side, let's say on the outer part, because each one now has these doorposts that are folding in. And v'chatzi amah mezuzah mikan, you have a half amah and a mezuzah on, let's say, the inner part. So there was a half amah and a half amah on the doorposts, both on the outer part and the inner part. That's for a total of an amah. And then the other 5 amahs were covered 2.5 amahs by the outer doors and 2.5 amahs by the inner doors. Shemak says, the Pasuk in Yechezkel says, Ushtayim d'losis l'dlosis, that there were two doors for every door. Shtayim musabas d'losis, there were these two swinging doors, which that term musabi sounds like that they were folded because they were swing, which that's the point that we're bringing here for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which the pasuk says shtayim ladalas echas, that, and this goes according to everyone, there were two for one door. I mean to say that there were two doors that were hanging on the doorpost going inside, which then, like they were saying from this point, from the previous words in the pasuk, they got folded over and they covered over 2.5 amas. And again, like we said, you had a half amas over here, half amas over there. But shleit losel lachares, you have two doors for the other one, so that makes for a total of 4 doors. But the point that we bring from Rabbi Yehuda is that there were mesabes, that they were swinging, that they actually folded over, and therefore, according to him, they all went into the thickness of the wall, the outer doors swinging in, and the inner doors coming inward, 2.5 and 2.5, 5 plus the extra amma, which according to him was a half amma and half amma on each one of the doorposts that they were in the Pesach of the Heichal. Continues Mishnah Beis. There were two minor doorways that there were for the large gate of the Heichal, which Echad B'Safon ve'Echad B'Dam. So one of walking into the Heichal from the eastern side, so there was a minor doorway on the northern part, ve'Echad B'Dam, one on the southern part. Now says the Mishnah, Shebedam lo nichnas adam b'me oilam, on the southern part, meaning on the left, no one ever entered into that doorway. And through that it was specified by the Navi Yechezkel, which says in Sefer Yechezkel, Hashem, it says, Hashem said to me, this gate shall be closed, shall not be open. No man shall come in it, because Hashem, the God of Israel, he comes in through it, and it has to be locked. Now says the Mishnah, so Natal the Kayin would take as a mafteich, the key, in the morning, and he would open up the small door on the right, which is the northern part of the large gate of the Heichel, which the Gemara Masechta Tamedaf Laman Beis explains that there were these two keys. One was the first key, which he had to get in, as we're going to describe right now, how he got in after he opened up this minor doorway, which one he had to lean over and open up from the inside, going all the way to his underarm. And the next one, when he was already on the inside, that he opened up directly. So the Mishnah describes, so when he would open up this minor doorway, which he came through the Beis HaMikdash, like we explained previously, that's where they would sleep, and he would come in, which was half in the Azara and half in the Chel, and he would come in, and he would be there in the Azara, and he would open up through the minor doorway, not going through the main gate. So he's on the right side of the Heichel, and he would go into the cell, which we're going to describe in the next daf, the dimensions of these cells. And from the cell he would go into the sanctuary, and then from the sanctuary he'd come from the sanctuary itself, going through those two doors of the thickness of the wall, and that's how he would open up from the inside. Now Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees. He says, he actually went through the thickness of the wall, meaning he went through the cell going actually not into the Heichel, but in the wall of the Heichel. There was an opening. Actually, till he got to the main doorway, which he was actually between the two gates, he got into that space of the opening. So he opened up the outer doors from the inside, meaning from the side of the Heichel, because he was on the inside. But the inner one, this is where he disagrees with the Tanna Kamma, the inner doors, since he didn't go into the Heichel, he was in the opening between the two doors. He opened it from the outside, meaning from the part facing the Ulam. That's how he opened up those doors. And then they opened up, and then they started the Avodah of that day. But that's how he got in, and that's how they opened up this area of the Heichal, which we're describing the dimensions of it now.